Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm your host, Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Buffalo pundit Alan Badenko. And Alan is going to talk about the latest scandals in Albany and how it affects Buffalo. So, Alan, what did you think when you saw the news last week?
Not much of it came as too much of a surprise overall, because Investigative Post here in town had already been sort of sniffing around the perimeter of this emerging scandal over the last several months. I guess the only surprise was that it got that close to Andrew Cuomo, and that Joe Prococo, who was his number three kind of in government and number two on the campaign, was implicated in some allegations of bribery, which is pretty shocking. But apart from that, it's just another day in Albany from our perspective. I assume that this stuff goes on every day, all day.
So how does what happened last week affect Buffalo? What's Buffalo's connection to all of this?
Well, one of the bids that was alleged to have been rigged had to do with the Solar City plant factory project down at the Riverbend in South Buffalo. That is an integral part of Governor Cuomo's Buffalo Billion. It's actually, I think, the biggest chunk of that $1 billion went into financing the construction of this project, and also helping to finance the materials that will be used to actually construct these solar cells and solar panels that Solar City is going to manufacture here. I think, if I remember correctly, the deal is that the state owns the devices that actually do the manufacturing and kind of lease it to Solar City. And I think we also own the building. I'm not 100% sure on the details, but in essence, all of it has to do with a very, very significant state investment in a risky private venture, which, if it goes great, then everybody wins. But if Solar City goes bankrupt or worse, then, the whole thing is just another calamity. So L.P. Simonelli, which is a local Buffalo developer, well-regarded developer. They do a lot of construction in town. They're very good at what they do. They're certainly not some fly-by-night operation. They won the contract to construct the building for Solar City, and it's now being alleged that there was some inside dealing and manipulation of the RFP to rig the bid. So that's all playing itself out now. I guess actually they moved it from federal court in Buffalo to federal court in Manhattan, was in the news today. So it'll be playing out downstate.
Now, one of the things that have been said in regard to the Buffalo Billion is that Cuomo really doesn't care about the economic health of Buffalo, but he just wanted to boost it because he lost that part of the state to Palladino, and he wanted to make sure that had never happened again. What's your feeling about that theory?
That strikes me as being a little too psychoanalytic, and unless someone is actually counseling Governor Cuomo, I think it's very speculative. I think really what the Buffalo Billion has nothing to do with Carl Palladino, because I think, quite frankly, in Andrew Cuomo's world, I think Carl Palladino plays a very small part in it. With the exception of the fact that they went head to head in 2010, the margin of victory for Andrew Cuomo was so enormous that really it was almost I mean, it was almost comical. The fact that Palladino won in Erie County shouldn't come as a surprise. He's a very well-known quantity here. People like him. He's like, you know, he's like a mini-me of Trump at this point. So when you put a guy like that in a place like this that has somewhat conservative leanings, even though it's predominantly Democrat, you know, the Democrats in town do have conservative leanings in some instances. You know, this is sort of like Reagan Democrat country. And you know, he's brash and he's abrasive and he's not afraid to tell people exactly what he thinks. And I think people saw him as being a breath of fresh air, whereas Andrew Cuomo is just a typical politician. And now we're seeing that play out on the presidential level almost in an identical way. And quite frankly, I think that the result in November is going to be similar to the result in November of 2010. But in any event, I don't think that Andrew Cuomo is out to prove a point or get back at Carl Palladino or ensure that his reelection in Erie County is secured. You know, he accomplished that 2 years ago anyway. So really what I think this was about, if it was about anything, it was about Andrew Cuomo's future political prospects. And, you know, Buffalo is perceived outside of town as being this backwater that's beyond help, like just an endless litany of Rust Belt horrors and, you know, beyond help, beyond assistance, forgotten. And if he could fix Buffalo, he could fix anything. I think that was ultimately the goal. And so there have been a lot of different initiatives in connection with the Buffalo Billion, many of them having to do with incubating small startups, which has been very, very successful here. The rejuvenation of Canal Side has been part of that. There's lots of great things happening in Buffalo. Buffalo still has problems, just like every other place, but in the last 10 years, there's been really significant progress that's been made here, and that's in no small part thanks to, you know, investment from Albany, investment from Washington, and the Buffalo Billion. Now, if the Solar City thing is successful, it could very well be a catalyst for sort of a new industrial age in Buffalo. I mean, it's all new, it's all clean, it's all renewable energy and that sort of thing, so it's very prospective, but it's also extraordinarily risky.
So if the Buffalo Billion, if what's going to happen is successful, what do you think that's going to do for Andrew Cuomo's future aspirations?
Well, I mean, obviously, if it's successful, then it'll be another, you know, feather in his cap. And he will be able to say, I'm the guy who really brought Buffalo kicking and screaming into the 21st century. I am the guy who made a heavy investment in Buffalo after years of neglect and helped them help themselves. I think, you know, and Buffalo is, you know, it's a major league city. Insofar as, you know, we've got an NFL team. Everybody knows where Buffalo is. Everybody's heard of it. They have a perception of it that's probably based on a lot of what's become now misinformation. But, you know, as recently as 10 or 15 years ago, those sorts of perceptions would have been quite accurate. But, you know, we're kind of on the come up, and that's in no small part thanks to not only his leadership, but the leadership of people here at the county level, at the city level, and that's bipartisan. You know, there have been Republicans and Democrats all sort of working together to try to not necessarily take the credit, although, you know, they all show up at the ribbon cuttings for everything, right? But I think that there has been a renewed effort in recent years to do bigger and better things that will hopefully lift the entire region up. And although there is a wide swath of our region that's been left behind, the hope is that when you do bring in these types of industries like Solar City, you can give people new opportunities that they didn't have before.
Well, Okay, we just spoke about the upside. What about the downside? What if this fails? What does that do for the administration?
Well, if it fails, it does. I mean, obviously, it'll be tragic because a lot of people have put a lot of hope in this SolarCity deal. And actually, it's interesting. If you think back to a couple of years ago when this thing was first announced, there was actually a deal that was struck to invest part of the Buffalo Billion, and I believe it was two separate clean energy companies, Silevo and something else, and they got bought out by SolarCity, and then that deal got transformed into the current one with SolarCity, which is led by Elon Musk, who also owns Tesla. So he's this sort of tech visionary entrepreneur who is somehow able to do the impossible. You know, his electric cars are the only ones that have really taken a foothold in the market, and they're very well respected. He does these things now with the preservation of energy within one's home through like a battery pack that you keep in your garage or something like that. So if you have a solar panel on your house or something like that, you can store the energy that you generate and don't use and use it at a later date, which is quite revolutionary. And SolarCity itself is a company that consistently loses money, and the Buffalo News is very quick to remind everybody of the fact that it hasn't yet made a profit. But that's because it's in the growth stage. It's been investing a lot in new technologies and new growth and new products and new markets. And, you know, if there's one flaw that people tend to hone in on with SolarCity, it's that their business model is kind of screwy and that they don't actually outright sell the solar panels. They basically lease it to you with no money up front. So it's a long process for them to start recouping those investments through that type of a business model, which is why it doesn't do well in the market. But now it's going to be swallowed up by Tesla itself, and that's being played out right now with a proposed buyout of SolarCity by Tesla. In any event, long story short, if the thing fails, it's a huge black eye for Andrew Cuomo. It's a huge black eye for a region that has put so much effort and emphasis on this project. There would be a lot of money wasted on the construction of the project and the investment in the materials needed to construct these solar panels, etc. But, you know, I think it's still premature to make those kinds of doom and gloom assessments, because the technology that's going to be implemented here, the solar panels that they're going to make in this plant, are a new technology that has never been made anywhere before and isn't going to be made anywhere else. And they're more efficient in terms of the way in which they take the sun's energy and transform it into electricity. We won't know if this is a failure, hopefully, you know, for 5 or 10 years. But quite frankly, if it does become a failure in 5 or 10 years, you know, all the people who are now elected may be off to doing bigger and better things. Who knows? But, you know, it's really at this point, if SolarCity turns out to be a disaster, then there'll be a lot of black eyes, not just Andrew Cuomo's.
Mm-hmm. So if SolarCity is successful, what does it do to the economy of your area?
Well, hopefully what it does, if it's successful, is it will add to our foundation of economic activity, whether that means, you know, trucking the raw materials in, trucking the solar panels out, jobs for the people who will be actually doing the manufacturing, jobs for people who will be overseeing the manufacturing, et cetera, et cetera. So, on the plus side, we'll have more jobs, we'll have more economic activity. They'll hopefully bring in people from out of town who will have to buy houses and all of the, you know, it's basically trickle-up economics, right? You know, you give somebody a job and now they're making $40,000 a year that didn't exist before, and they will put that money out into the economy at large. And when you multiply that, it has a great effect on our region as a whole. So that's the hope.
And if it's a bust?
Well, if it's a bust, then those jobs won't come, those people won't come, that economic activity won't happen, and we will have a massive white elephant in South Buffalo that will remain empty unless someone else can figure out what to do with a massive factory/warehouse and somebody figures out what to do with the with the machines that make the solar panels and whom they could sell them to and that sort of thing. So, you know, it'll basically be a liquidation fire sale. So it would be very, very bad. Not to mention the money that's already been sunk into it that's going to be forfeited.
Right. There was a number of indictments last week, you know, touching many people from Pococo to, you know, your people out in Buffalo. Ultimately, what do you think will be the outcome of something like this? I know nobody's got a crystal ball, but from your perspective, how bad is this for the Cuomo administration?
Well, I honestly don't know. I mean, nobody knows yet what is going to happen with the criminal charges. You know, the things that Prococo is alleged to have done are things that seem to have happened without Cuomo's knowledge or without even there seems to be no indication that the governor was in any way implicated or had any knowledge of what was going on. I mean, if you look through what's being alleged, it looks like Prococo basically bought a house that he couldn't afford and his wife lost her job or left her job and they were underwater in terms of their cash flow every month. So he was pressuring people to find his wife a job, et cetera, et cetera. And these are people who are connected with the various projects that we're talking about with the developers. And there was some stuff out in Syracuse that I'm not that up on. I don't think anything Prococo did touches on anything that happened in Buffalo. I don't think he was soliciting anything from Simonelli or anything like that. The only common thread there is Alan Caballeros did have a hand in, shepherding the Solar City deal through because he's sort of, you know, the tech guru, right, for all of this stuff with SUNY. So, you know, as far as Cuomo is concerned, there doesn't seem to be anything there, and I gotta think that he's smarter than that. You know, that that Prococo wouldn't have been so stupid as to try to implicate his boss in anything like this, or to get to let Cuomo's fingerprints be on anything. And I gotta think that Cuomo is smart enough that he would never go along with anything along these lines. Or, you know, he may be a lot of things, but you know, as of right now, I'm not aware of Cuomo being corrupt to that extent. You know, he's corrupt only insofar as Albany is already inherently corrupt with three men in a room and all of that nonsense. But I'm not aware of him being on the take or being involved in any kind of bid rigging or feather bedding or anything like any kind of illegality. So I think he would be smarter than that anyway.
But the contention is that Cuomo is a control freak, and he wants to. So if he is that much of a control freak, then he would want to know what everybody in his circle was doing. So how does that wash with you?
Well, I'm sure he'd like to know what everybody is up to, but that's just an impossibility. And, you know, unless the lobbyist and the SUNY Polytechnic guy and the developer in Syracuse and the developer in Buffalo were reporting to the governor as to their illegal schemes, he wouldn't know. I mean, and I think the likelihood that they would confess their illegal schemes to the governor is, you know, zero. So, you know, if a guy like Joe Prococo wants to use his personal cell phone and his personal email account to solicit, allegedly, you know, bribes or anything like that from people doing business with the state, I'm sure that there are ways to do that without Andrew Cuomo knowing about it. And as you know, as far as anyone can tell, that's exactly what happened. There's really no, as much of a control freak as Andrew Cuomo is, he can't know everything. He can't control everything, you know, unless he was illegally monitoring his employees' private email accounts, there'd be no indication of any wrongdoing.
Now, an issue closer to home, what's going on with Steve Pagan?
Well, nothing really new. Pigeon remains under a 9-count indictment. There have been motions recently filed in court challenging the legality of the search warrants and trying to exclude various things that were discovered through the search warrants. There's been an allegation that the judge who executed the warrants was somehow biased against Steve Pigeon. But, you know, in the end, these are all sort of standard issue defense motions in a case like this. So nothing really earth-shattering has happened as far as that case is concerned. So nobody really knows what the status is. But electorally, there were three elections being watched very closely here on the Democratic side here in Western New York. One was an assembly race, one was a state senate race, and one was the district attorney's race. And there were, excuse me, in all of them, there was, you know, it was really kind of a pitched battle between, you know, can Erie County headquarters, led by Jeremy Zellner, win these elections where they've backed, they've explicitly endorsed somebody. And in two of the cases, at least, there were candidates running against the endorsed Democrats who had some affiliation with people who had been associated with Steve Pigeon in the past. In fact, in the 143rd district, the woman running, Christy Mazurek, was essentially, you know, Pigeon's right-hand person for a lot of his things in recent years, including one of the PACs that is the subject matter of the search warrants that led to his indictment and arrest. And she was recently, he named her his power of attorney for the sale of one of his condominiums and that sort of thing. So she was very close to him. And all of the Pigeon people lost in the primary. In the DA's race, it was 45-40, where John Flynn defeated the incumbent acting district attorney, Michael Flaherty, whose campaign was being run by two people close to Steve Pigeon. The Christy Mazurek race, Monica Wallace won. This is in the 143rd. Monica Wallace defeated Christy Mazurek by a blowout. It was like 75-25, something crazy like that. I mean, it was just completely lopsided. The third one is Amber Small. She defeated longtime perennial candidate Al Coppola, who, although not necessarily aligned with Steve Pigeon, that was just sort of a race where it was indicative that Democratic headquarters was beginning to unite and that the people who were opposed to it were sort of on a descending slope.
Mm-hmm. So this is an issue that will be continued. So, Alan, at some point when Buffalo is mentioned again, would you come on Focus on Albany to share your thoughts?
Absolutely. I'm always happy to discuss the mafia that rules us all.
Thank you. You've been listening to Alan Badenko. Oh, Alan, plug your blog.
Sure, thank you. I write for The Public, which is Buffalo's premier alternative weekly news magazine. It's at dailypublic.com, and I can be found on Twitter at Buffalo Pundit, all one word.
You've been listening to Alan Badenko, and he's the Buffalo Pundit. And this is Focus on Albany, and if you like this show, like us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment or criticism about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share with us. Alan, have a good day. Thank you for being on the show, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.